You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to this week's edition of Assembly Call Radio, where each week we discuss the most important topics in the world of Indiana basketball. This is our 251st edition of Assembly Call Radio, and it is our 843rd episode overall of the Assembly Call, recorded on the evening of May 19th, 2022. I am your host, Brian Tonsoni. And let's begin this edition of the Assembly Call how we begin every edition of the Assembly Call, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. This week's banner moment happened on Tuesday night when head ball coach Mike Woodson spoke to the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Northeast Indiana. And forgive me for simply reading a quote. Coach Woodson on NIL and the transfer portal said the following, quote, "The NIL is here is to pay players money, and if they can negotiate their money, I'm happy for them. But you come to college to get an education and play basketball if that's the sport you choose. So that, to me, is first and foremost. And if you think any other way, I don't want you on our ball club. You can go somewhere else and do your thing that way in that regard. It's around. You can't get away from it. The portal, I think, changes the games in terms of how you navigate your team every season, because you're going to have some players that are going to be disgruntled and want to leave. It's all part of it. And I tell players that if you don't want to play for us, then you leave. And I'll find somebody that would love to play and wear that uniform. The summer is quite slow for Indiana basketball news, but whenever you can get a quote like this, it brings you back to the good old times of Indiana basketball. Coach Woodson, well said, and thanks." Okay, and to my left is our good friend, Andy Bottoms.
The best of you sports coaching, you know that we got them. When it comes to analytic trends, you know he can spot them. For first-class bracketology, if you want the top, you gotta go bottoms. If you want the top, you gotta go bottoms. If you want the top, you gotta go bottoms. If you want the top, you gotta go bottoms.
Andy, it's good to have you back. What is on your mind as far as Indiana Hoosiers basketball as we are about to begin the summer?
I know. Hard to believe. We were talking before the show that the school year is winding down for you and for the rest of my family. Not me, unfortunately. But now I just wanted to take a minute and say thanks to you guys and to a lot of the folks in the community for the messages in the community, the texts, different things like that after my dad passed here a few weeks ago. Hard to believe it's been that long. But, I am really appreciative of that and the community that we have here and the support that was felt from all of you. And I think it's fair to say that I would not be doing the show if it wasn't for him and the IU fan that he was and things like that. And so, you know, my parents would always tell me he would sing me to sleep when I was a baby to the IU fight song. He would sing that to me. And maybe that was part of some elaborate brainwashing plan. I'm not really sure. But if it was, it worked. As we look through pictures and as you have, you know, think through memories of those kinds of things in the wake of that, you know, just almost every picture that we found of tailgating was just like the biggest smile on his face. And my mom and I just had a great time reminiscing about all the bad football that we watched, but all the fun that we had before and after the games, which I guess I think Jared put it somewhere that made him the quintessential IU football fan. The tailgate was more fun than the game. But, you know, just that watching games at home, I think somebody, it's been a few years ago, asked a question of what, you know, some of our earliest memories are of IU basketball. And I think I said that mine was among them was IU winning the championship in 87 and him picking me up in our living room. And still remember that pretty vividly. And but also, you know, went to a lot of the, I always forget whether it was the Indiana Classic or the Hoosier Classic that was in Indianapolis when we lived there when I was growing up, to go to some of those games. We're able to go to a few games after that. And as a Christmas gift, it's been a few years ago, Yogi was still there, but it was a night that Yogi broke the assist record that he and I got to go, and just remembered what a great time that we had with that. So a lot of great memories, and many of my best memories with him somehow centered around IU sports in one way or the other. So, certainly miss him, and we'll be thinking about him a lot as we get toward the season, but wanted to give a minute to kind of share a few thoughts and just say thanks to everybody. I've definitely appreciated it, and appreciate you guys handling things on here. So that I guess is my opening thoughts. I know you guys had a lot to talk through last week. The Jordan Holes news is certainly exciting. I know we're going to talk a little bit of the schedule stuff and some TJD as we get into it, but from a true basketball perspective, really excited to see Jordan Holes back associated with the program. I think all of us know what a fantastic representative he has been, was as a player, and has been ever since. And so I think, despite the fact that the role of that job is probably a little bit nebulous to most of us, I have no doubt that he'll attack it with the same fire that he attacked everything else on the court, and we'll do a great job and figure it out as he goes with that. So that's definitely exciting, and glad to be back talking IU basketball with you tonight.
It's good to have you back. It's also good, the community. I'll second that. It has been a lot of fun seeing the community grow in the time since I've been a part of it, and it is just nice to have you all available on Thursday nights, tailgates, and reaching out. So well said. Here's what we're going to have on the show this week. We're going to have some Hoosier headlines. Bart Torvik has put out some probably way too early projections, but I think you're going to like those. TJD gets some tough news at the combine health-wise. Not an injury, but he's had to kind of be limited in his combine. And Coach Woodson, as I mentioned in the banner moment, said a lot of good things. You can find that on Inside the Hall. Has a good write-up on what he said at that dinner. Segment two, Andy and I, from a bracketologist standpoint, are going to go through and try to schedule for Indiana. That is still a couple months away from us discussing that, but we're going to try to talk a little bit about what we think Indiana should do in the conference and out of conference in segment two. And in segment three, as usual, we'll answer a few of the best questions we got submitted this week in the community. All of that coming up this week on Assembly Call Radio. So now let's talk about our presenting sponsor.
Home Field Apparel, wear one for the team.
This edition of Assembly Call Radio, just like all shows on the Back Home Network, is presented by our friends at Home Field Apparel, where they have the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you'll find anywhere, with beloved logos like two different versions of the Bison. And Home Field has something for fans and grads of other schools. Considering their product line now extends to more than 120 different schools with unique vintage logos for all of them, and they're getting ready for a new Saturday launch, big new Saturday, 15 weeks, I believe, of new products coming out starting Saturday. So no matter what you buy, you know it'll be comfortable and the colors will last through many washings. Plus, you're supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through Kelly. What could be better than that? So go to homefieldapparel.com and use our promo code HOME for 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. Once again, the website is homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. Okay, as we said, the Hoosier headlines, Coach Woodson spoke at the Big Brothers Big Sisters. TJD was invited to the combine and started the process, but due to a COVID, testing positive for COVID, he's had some interviews canceled, some five-on-five play canceled, and that may have an impact on what teams think, because he probably needed to show them something to keep moving up the draft board to that slot where he said he would stay in the draft. Dexter Dennis committed to Texas A&M, so currently we have not heard word of any transfers coming to Indiana for visits or interested on that. And then the Bart Torvik projections came out, and Bart does a really good job with this. I encourage people to go to his website and check this out in the off season and during the season. But his number one team right now is your Indiana Hoosiers, which is just really good to see. I don't know if I really want that to be accurate quite yet, because that's a lot of pressure, but Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, Illinois, Iowa, your top six teams, according to Bart Torvik. Obviously, that changes when players commit. TJD, I assume those are with TJD coming back. But that gives us something interesting to kind of talk about and something that I didn't know at the beginning of Coach Woodson's second year, we really would be talking about the possibility of Indiana being at the top of the Big Ten. So, Andy, take it away. What headlines would you like to talk about first?
Well, I guess just kind of thinking through the order of those, you know, the Coach Woodson conversation, I thought his comments on NIL that you read earlier were interesting. I thought some of the other things, just as he talked about, you know, not only how he characterized the first season, he really talked about how much time he spent. You know, a lot of players were disgruntled for whatever reason, had to do damage control. And so really like trying to get trace first and do those things. And one of the other questions was talking about the difference between having a full calendar year under his belt versus coming in last spring. And he talked about recruiting and that the big question was really about TJD. But I think those two things tie pretty well together. I mean, he's able to spend this offseason doing a lot different things than what he did last year, which was essentially trying to re-recruit the roster or the parts of the roster that he wanted while also adjusting to the college game and kind of getting those things ready. So I'm curious to see what presumably a little bit of extra time that wasn't spent having some of the conversations that he had there. What does that translate to? You know, how is he better able to use that time on something maybe more on-court related to prepare the team and things for the season. So I think that part is exciting. Certainly had positive comments. And then, you know, obviously he said that the biggest question was Trace. So that dovetails with the other piece of news that you had. Really unfortunate for him that he didn't get a chance to go through that process. Who knows what would have happened? Who knows if he'd have played in the 5-on-5 anyway? I presume that he would have based on what I saw. And so, you know, you won't really know. I don't know. It's hard to say whether that really forces him to come back because he wasn't able to participate in those things. I've heard some things that suggest things are leaning more and more that direction, but I'm not sure that his inability to participate in a lot of the things, I don't know how much of a factor that is within there. But Woodson also talked about, you know, some potential options that they might have if he, you know, he's not back. He talked about Logan Duncombe and Malik Renaud and, so they're kind of preparing for both ways, as you really have to at this point to figure things out from there. So I guess, you know, feel free to chime in with your thoughts on that. Then maybe we can talk a little bit of the Big Ten pecking order there, which I thought was a little bit interesting.
Yeah. You know, I thought all along that TJD is probably going to come back. And I, you know, obviously we're very close to getting that information on an official basis, because it has to be by June 1st if we don't hear from it. I haven't seen anything official that way, but, you know, he wanted a certain spot and he wanted to be sure. And I just would imagine that he would have had to prove that either in the interviews or the play 5-on-5 to move up the draft board to where he would feel comfortable staying in the draft. So I thought it was a little bit of a long shot, but I always will encourage young people who have that opportunity to go and test it out and see. There's nothing absolutely wrong with doing that. So obviously that's going to be the 13th player on the roster officially, with Dexter Dennis not coming. That didn't put any pressure on Trace Jackson Davis or someone else from leaving. So we kind of have a little bit of roster, you know, being solidified. And I just think that's ultimately good to have that kind of talent back for another year. And I think that's showing in these early preseason rankings. And I wouldn't have any of us run out and start chirping to our rival fans that we're going to be number one in the Big Ten yet. I'm not that comfortable with the program overall. But it is nice, and I think it is fairly ranked that Indiana is now moving up into the top echelon of the Big Ten. And the top half should be the goal every year, and looking for a little bit better than a ninth place finish. So, you know, I think that speaks volumes for Indiana and where they're at right now. So while we're waiting, Andy stepped out for a second. I will read the rest of these preseason rankings. Indiana was number one for Bart Torvik. The two Michigan schools, as I said, Purdue number four. Always good to see Indiana ahead of Purdue. Illinois comes in 5 and 6. Maryland 7. Rutgers 8. Ohio State and Wisconsin at 9 and 10. And Penn State and Nebraska 11-12. Northwestern and Minnesota round out the bottom at 13 and 14. So there you go. Those are the rankings there from Bart Torvik. The surprises for me is Ohio State and Wisconsin down to the number 9 and 10. And I haven't really studied a whole lot of who's back and who's not back. But obviously all of those teams are teams that played in the NCAA tournament before. So breaking news, Andy has just been hit with a power outage. So so I am going to send it off to a break, and we will figure out where we go next here on the Assembly Call.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate Finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, this is Juwan Morgan. What's the only thing better than getting IU's first triple-double in 47 years? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
Welcome back to the Assembly Call. I'm Coach Tonsoni here with the superstar reliever, despite his Cincinnati hat, who is filling in for Andy Bottoms, who had his power knocked out after segment one. And so Coach Marlow and I are going to talk a little bit about what the scheduling might be here over the summer. So we already know two opponents for next year. And Coach and I will try to fill out the rest of the 11-game non-conference schedule. If you're in the chat room, put in your thoughts. And we'll kind of talk about where the schedule needs to go. So Coach, Andy and I, from a bracketology standpoint, thought that last year the schedule really didn't have a lot of meat on it when you were allowed the St. John's, and also you also had the Big East Challenge with Syracuse and Notre Dame in the Crossroads Classic. Those games didn't carry as much weight to the strength of schedule, and you saw Indiana barely get in the tournament. So to beef up the schedule was one of the priorities that we were talking about, and boy, has Indiana done that. They're going to play Kansas at Kansas on December 10th, I believe, and turn around – or Arizona – I forget which order they're in, but I think Kansas is on the 17th and Arizona and Las Vegas on the 10th. So those are two top Power 5 conferences that will really boost the schedule, and you also have those challenges left. So, Coach, here's how we're going to do this. We're going to start talking about the Gavitt games where it's the Big Ten, Big East. What Big East team would you like to see, if Indiana is selected as one of the eight teams, which team would you like to see them play and why?
Am I answering this from a fan standpoint, or do I want to look at it from more of a coach and bracketologist look at it?
All three. I'm putting pressure on you to mix it all together. You can go any direction you want.
The fan in me wants Butler. Keep that kind of crossroads Indianapolis connection. But I see Jack in the chat says, you know, Villanova. I'm not sure we're going to be quite. I think we could play with Villanova. Don't get me wrong. I just think that that's not where they'll slot us. I'm thinking more along the line of whoever probably would. I can't think off the top of my head, Brian, but whoever second or third in the Big East last year, I think that would be a good matchup for us in the Gavitt games, whether it's at home or on the road.
I would really like to see us, again, be looked at in these challenges as one of these top three or four teams in the Big Ten, like Bart Torvik had us.
Correct.
Because I think that's that helps us. Even in a loss, playing the better teams, because you're going to have to play good teams and you're going to have to win a couple. But if you say we have four tough teams, Coach, and we go 2-2, but there are two real high-quality wins, those are those quad one wins. So I was thinking of Providence. Would be good. I think we might be on the road. We haven't been on the road for a while in the Gavitt games if we're selected, so it might be Providence. And I'm also thinking they might match us up with UConn, a team that similarly got back into the tournament. That's an equal to where Indiana was. But I think playing both a Providence and a UConn, and especially if they're on the road, gives Indiana a third really, really good game. And you know, Austin Hostetler had this question. He said, with the game at KU and a neutral site game at Arizona on the schedule next year, which teams would you like to see IU? I want to give you a shout-out, Austin. This is what we're answering the whole segment, what games you would like to see to make it a tougher non-conference schedule. So you gave us an idea, and we're going to kind of run with it. Thanks, Austin, for that. So let's go to the ACC Challenge, which will be the fourth big opponent for your Indiana Hoosiers next year. Who would you like to see play? We were on the road last year, so sometimes they back that up with two road games. But I'm thinking it might be in Assembly Hall. Who would you like to see from the ACC come in?
I want to see one of those top-tier teams. I kind of want a piece of Carolina right now myself. I think that would be a great matchup if they're going to go by projection with the IU, if TJD's back, which, you know, the signs are kind of pointing that way. But I'd kind of like a little bit of Carolina, see where we're at compared to a team that went to the national championship game last year. Obviously, Duke has won. I kind of go back to the Big East when two coach. I just think that Butler's the fan part of me, but I think we're going to be slotted higher than where Butler was, where they finished the Big East. So I really don't think that'll be it. Providence and UConn, I really would think those two would be, you know, right there as well. I just think Villanova is probably going to get somebody like Michigan or possibly Michigan State, but we could be in that mix for Villanova as well. I'm trying to think who would be a third team. North Carolina, to me, would be the one I really want to match up with. Duke, obviously, will bring that be that name school that everybody knows. And to a certain degree, it may not be a marquee name, but man, Miami played pretty well at times last year. I wouldn't mind seeing Miami in Assembly Hall.
I think we're going to get one of those top two if they do, you know, put Indiana at the top of the pecking order, because Indiana, Duke, Indiana, North Carolina, Indiana, Virginia, those are really big marquee matchups for ESPN. But I do agree with you on Miami. Miami is an interesting upcoming program. They've been in the news. You have that. And don't discount Louisville. You know, with Kenny Payne and starting that up, and it's a local rivalry. Last year, Ohio State and Xavier played in the ACC Challenge, and they were real close rivals there. So I think any of those, again, give Indiana four really good quad one opportunities to boost their schedule, which would be a heck of a lot better than the schedule they had last year. So now, Coach, we got to go seven other, and I'm going to ask you your philosophy as a coach. How many tough games do you think a college team should have given the rigor of the Big Ten? Is four where you're at, or do you add another one or two? What is your ideal schedule with these Power Five or Power Six, Seven schools? What would you like to see done?
I think I'd like five. We're assuming there's 11, you know, there's 11 non-conference games there. If you're really going to be in that mix, if you want to get to that point where you're being a number one team in the Big Ten and fighting, you would like to think the Big Ten champion is fighting for a number one or number two seed line. You've got to probably have one more type game, because you know bracketology better than I do. But even if you lose, for example, Kansas and Arizona, unless they're really like blowout losses, Coach, neutral site or even at Kansas won't hurt us too bad in the bracketology. I'd like to win them, but I'd like to see us go out again. Obviously the school that everybody's going to bring into the discussion here is Kentucky. Can you find a way to get UK back on the schedule? I think there's at least some hope for that. I don't know about this year, but I think there's at least some hope for that in the future. I wouldn't mind finding a West Coast team. I'd love to find a way to get a UCLA, a Gonzaga, and just that type of West Coast team. We're already playing, I guess we got that with Arizona. I also wouldn't mind seeing us find a way. I know it's not the marquee matchup, but I'd like to find a way with part of those other six to get a way to maybe get a rotation of Indiana State, a Ball State, a Valpo, you know, those types of schools where I know you probably go like two for one, two home games for a road game. But I just like those types of atmosphere games. To me, as an Indiana fan, I always liked the old Indiana Classic, you know, right before Christmas, that used to have at least like one of those teams in it. And so, but I think then your other five or so got to be teams that got to be pretty much wins. I'm looking for sub 200, but I think they need to be in that 100, 150 range that should be wins.
Yeah, so we need at least a fifth big school. I do think you head south to the SEC. I don't think Kentucky's getting done, but you might be able to get a Tennessee type of game. I love your UCLA suggestion. I just think that's, two of these blue bloods that have had some struggles reclaiming their blue bloods, and now you have Cronin in at UCLA and Woodson starting. UCLA's had a lot more success getting back to that level than Indiana has. Coach Woodson's just starting. That would be a really good battle as well. You know, we've done that in the past. We've played Kansas in the past, and some of those games before we played Kentucky at Lucas Oil or the Hoosier right. Dome or those types of things. So let's say we get one of those Power Fives. We get we go searching for something. Probably not going to be in the ACC or the Big East because of those challenges. So you're looking another Big 12, a Pac-12, or an SEC. If we get an SEC school, we have all Power Five conferences covered if we get invited to the Gavitt games. So
what about it? What about a Texas? You know, what about
that's good too. Texas Tech would be really a good measure and a good opportunity. I think you see, you know, it varies if you look at the really good programs between, you know, four and six of these top level games. Some schools skirt it with three, but then, you know, you're going to have issues some years if you lose two of those games. But if you play five of those schools, I believe five and then six mid-major to the smaller schools. Okay, so let's build the other six real quickly. I think you need to have three cupcake games for film, for players to get out there and get some run. You're going to win by 30. You can get your 9, 10, 11, 12 guys in. Okay, but I do think that it's important that some of those other games, those other three games, come from conferences that are going to be pretty good. The Missouri Valley is a conference with good basketball. Conference USA, Sun Belt, we've done that. This is where your Marshall games last year, your Louisiana games would be a nice fit when you have these five other teams. Right.
And I think I'll give you a team, and I think they're actually going to the Missouri Valley, and that's Murray. I would love to get like a Murray on the schedule on almost a, maybe not a regular basis, but some type of rotation where you might say, hey, let's schedule it out for, you know, here at Indiana for in 23 and 22, 23, we'll get you back in 25, 26, and then we'll go to Murray, you know, for a game in 28 or 29. I just think that Murray State program, but I agree with you, Brian. I think the Missouri Valley, one of my bucket list things, I want to go to Arch Madness. I want to go to St. Louis and watch the Missouri Valley tournament. And so I would love to pick up a really good team like Northern Iowa, teams like that out of the Missouri Valley.
And then I think you need to schedule some from the Mid-American Conference because it's a Midwest conference, has some good basketball. And when, from a bracketology standpoint, Coach, you want to get teams that are predicted in the top half. And you got to spend some time looking at these conferences, what's coming back, what transfer portal did, because you want these teams to be, like you said, in the 150 to 250 range in any metric that you're using. You don't want the 360, the eighth worst team coming in. When I say cupcake, you're trying to get in the, you know, 225 to 275. So we have one from the Missouri Valley, one from the Mid-American Conference. Any other conference that you would like to see come into Assembly Hall?
You know, there's a couple decent teams out in the WAC.
Right.
You look at, maybe it wouldn't, you know, I'm trying to think, well, who's out there in New Mexico, Nevada. I'm trying to think who won that league last year in the WAC. Was that
San Diego? Some teams that could scare you too. I mean, and Grand Canyon was 23-8 last year. New Mexico State was 27-7. I may not go pick off the top teams in those leagues, because you do need wins, do need wins, but you also need to, but you know, you got a team like Seattle had a big year, 23-9. Stephen F. Austin's had some good run in the WAC. Abilene Christian was in the tournament a couple years ago. So you could pick up a team like that. The WAC was the 15th best conference last year. And that's what I'm talking about. You look at your conference rating when you schedule, and you look at teams in the top half, teams that you should beat. But maybe it's a 15 to 20 point win after a half of a struggle, because they're poised to maybe make a run for their tournament. So, all right, I'm going to give you the pick. Let's say we're going to take Grand Canyon, don't play at Grand Canyon. Their home gym is crazy with their cheer block. But Grand Canyon comes in next year. You get to pick the Missouri Valley Conference team that you want, a top half team to come into Indiana and play next year. Who's it going to be?
Is Loyola leaving the Missouri Valley?
Yes, they are heading to the A-10.
Okay, that's what I thought. There's another league that you would want to be looking at too, is the A-10.
Yep.
So out of the Valley, I'm trying to remember who was at the top of the Valley last year, but Northern Iowa is the first team that comes to my mind.
They were at the top.
Yeah,
I'd Loyola. Loyola was at the top. Northern Iowa was the highest KenPom.
But I think, as Brian points out here in the chat, a team like Bradley, maybe you don't go for the upper level,
right?
But a team like Bradley, that would be a good pick. So I'd take one of those two out of the Missouri Valley. I either go to the top of the league with Northern Iowa, or I'd take a Bradley.
Okay, so Bradley's on the schedule for next year. Here's some other Valley teams, and I know we're going to go back to that first game when Archie played, but you have three Indiana schools in the Valley: Valpo, Indiana State, and Evansville. Yep. And right now those are a little out the bottom. They may hurt our numbers, our net. So you might not want to schedule them right now if you're looking at the Valley, but I don't mind that. We should beat those when we're at our best at Indiana. We should beat Indiana State, Valpo, and Evansville. And that is that regional thing. And so when I go, pick the eighth game, I think, we had five big opponents, and now we had three, additional opponents here. When I picked the eighth one from, the Mid-American, I'm calling Coach Lewis up at Muncie and saying, bring the Cardinals down in year one, because they're going to be rebuilding. You should probably beat them. You could welcome them home, welcome them back to the state of Indiana. So, you know, we got Bradley on the schedule. We got Grand Canyon on the schedule, and we have Ball State. Those are the three kind of in-between games, along with the top five power schools, whether it be UCLA, Texas, and the four scheduled games. And now we go to some other schools where, like the Horizon League, which is a Midwest. They were the 26th best conference in KenPom. We had Northern Kentucky in, but you can get a Detroit back in. Illinois, Chicago, those types of schools, bring them in for a game. That level of school, and they're local. And so you can get them in. I know basketball travel is not that big of a deal. But you also have the Summit League, and I know we lost to IPFW, but there's some schools that have some good basketball.
South Dakota State.
And then you probably do need a couple that are really pushing that 300 level, two or three left over. So
I'll tell you,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, one thing, and for our viewers who might not realize this, Grand Canyon, there is a little bit of an Indiana connection there, because that's Bryce Drew.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be a chance for, you know, him to come back and bring a team into Indiana. I liked how you went with Ball State. I was thinking outside of Ball State, boy, I loved it. I can't remember which one of them was at the top, but I want to say it was either Ohio U or
they've been good. Akron's been good.
Akron was the other one. It was decent last year.
John Gross from former Illinois coach is at Akron.
Yeah, so I would kind of, maybe if I wasn't going to go Ball State, I'd go opposite, you know, say I'm not doing the same as you. I would go with one of those two kind of out Eastern Ohio type schools.
And so here we go. Tony Stuckey in the chat makes a good point, too. You want to add another big school or a prominent school, Wichita State, Cincinnati, you know, and make that, you know, I'm not opposed to having six tough teams on a schedule. Now, you got to be careful. Michigan State did that a couple years ago with that first game against Kentucky or Duke, and then they scheduled really tough and they got behind the eight ball. But you'll see teams with 19 wins, 19 and 12, that play that kind of schedule get a 5-6 seed if they don't do well in the conference. But I think playing tough teams helps your net and gets you ready for the Big Ten.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you, Coach. It was Newtonian who put in the chat, Houston.
Houston. Yeah, bring Kelvin Sampson. We'll only play Kelvin Sampson if he comes back.
Yeah. How about Memphis?
Memphis, yeah. You know, so we have four. If we're in the Gavitt games, we have those four tough schedules.
Right.
You and I at least want one more.
I'd be careful about who that sixth one is.
Yeah, you kind of got to get a good, you know, a good conference, but with someone you could probably beat or should beat, because you do need those wins. But again, get some games in for our fans too, who buy season ticket packages. And then you're going to have to reciprocate and go on the road. And road games, again, count more when it comes down to the net and to the tournament. So now it comes to the Big Ten. We have no authority over the Big Ten. We have no authority over the non-conference schedule. But
hey, Coach, real quick, I really wasn't looking at the community, but I'll kind of throw this in here. I think somebody asked this in the community, so if you maybe see it, you can shout out who it was. But what about playing one of those in the middle of the Big Ten season? I'm not sure I like that. That maybe I'm because I'm an old Bob Knight guy. Knight never liked playing conference games during the Big Ten season, but there's some value to that.
You know, I'm like you. I'm a traditionalist. I won't call you old, but you know, we just like it the way it was. Once you start conference play, stay in your conference. But there is something I really like, that idea that they're floating around now to match up conferences that where they don't schedule for a week, 1 week they don't schedule conferences, and they match up teams according to the standings, kind of like the old bracket busters when they put two teams vying for a tournament. And they would, you know, like even the West Coast with Gonzaga would match up with maybe Houston. And so that would be that non-conference game late February or mid-February, which really gives a boost to that team that wins that. And I don't think the Power Six conferences are part of that. So if that goes, I don't think Indiana can schedule one of those non-conference games in February, but I'm not opposed to breaking up conference play. I think that's just more of a traditionalist. I would like to not do that, but I really like that bracket buster plan.
Hey, also, Coach, and Jack brought this up in the chat. Again, my daughter went here, so I wasn't thinking this way. Bellarmine.
Yes.
I'm not sure I really want Bellarmine if I'm still trying to build schedule, but in a couple years, I wouldn't mind playing Bellarmine. And you tell you what, for our fans who have not watched Bellarmine, Scotty Davenport does a heck of a job down there, and they play a really unique offense that would be real, would give us some issues.
Well, you got Belmont and Lipscomb down there in Nashville. You know, those schools you don't like to play either, because really Belmont is the toughest team there, but we played them in the scrimmage this year. And so those types of schools, I think, really make a schedule pretty good. I know Michigan State have played Oakland out of the Horizon local, you know. I think you just got to do that. And I think Coach did a good job. I really liked the schedule last year, other than the lack of a top-heavy schedule. I thought the Louisiana was good the way they played. I thought bringing in Marshall, who had a good run and played at a pace, you've done those schools you do need on your schedule, but after you schedule the five or six, top teams.
I agree with all that. I think they kind of went into it thinking that Notre Dame and Syracuse especially would be kind of marquee names, and they didn't play out that way.
Yeah, and they, and there's some conversation about the first year you want to get some wins and you want to find out who you got playing, and you don't want to go play the biggies right away. So I gather that. But it almost cost us a tournament in year one because of the lack of those types of wins. So let's talk Big Ten for a little bit. We don't have a lot. Andy and I were going to do this. You can't just pick the bottom teams and play the doubles. You got to play seven. So let's take four teams that we wouldn't mind playing that are in the top half, and some three teams that would be in the bottom half of the Big Ten. And you don't have the run sheet there. I didn't have time to throw it out to you, but
that's fine. What
teams would you be okay with playing home and away in the Big Ten from the top of like Bart Torvik had Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, Illinois, Iowa, the top five teams besides Indiana. Any team you want to stay away from, or any team you definitely want to play in that? Obviously, we'd love to play Purdue twice. I think that should be guaranteed every year.
Purdue twice. I'll go out there and say that. No matter how, whether and I want them to be good. That's when we beat them. It makes it even more fun. Right now on that list, Iowa, Illinois could pop out to me. I think they lose quite a bit. They may not be top half of the Big Ten by the time it's all said and done, but I'd play Iowa twice. I'd play Illinois twice. Who else did you have on that list besides Purdue?
Yeah, so those are 4, 5, and 6 according to Torvik. Michigan and Michigan State would be 2 and 3, and we were going to pick 4.
I'll play Michigan State twice.
Yeah,
because with the Christie kid staying in the in the draft, I just think that they're going to – I'm not saying they're going to be awful. I just think I'm getting to that point where I really believe Mike Woodson is starting to get this going to where I'm not really afraid of playing somebody twice. I know why we don't play every team twice, but I kind of miss the old Big Ten schedule where you played everybody twice.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. You know, I think you just wonder what Illinois – I'm a big Underwood fan, but too. I think they're going to be rebuilding a little bit too. And really I'm not too afraid of anybody on this list. I know we're getting some feedback in the chat room of teams you'd like to avoid playing twice. But you have that. And obviously you'd like to, I'm going to throw out an interesting bottom feeder that I want to avoid playing twice. I kind of want to stay away from Nebraska. I don't think they're very good. But I also think that, the way he plays and spreads it out, that they can get hot and beat two or three teams that they shouldn't. And depending on when you catch them, you know, the other team there, you know, I respect everyone in the Big Ten, but Penn State, I think, I think they're headed in a pretty good direction with Coach Shrewsbury too. But I'm a little worried just because the style of basketball, Nebraska just spreads you out, drives you, and kicks you. Boy, if they get hot. And I'd like to play Nebraska at home and not in their arena, because they get a little juiced in their arena. So any other teams that down at that bottom, and any single teams you'd like to play home or like to get on the road?
I just think that I agree with you about Penn State. I really like what Shrewsbury's doing out there, and I wouldn't necessarily want to play them twice. Nebraska sometimes, Coach, maybe I'm wrong. It just seems like when you watch on TV, they can kind of get juiced. But visiting teams, I don't think the crowds – I don't think it's always packed in there. So I think the crowd sometimes is because it's kind of a lackluster crowd. Sometimes it seems like on TV, you see an IU or a Michigan State or a Michigan that kind of gets in there, and they're kind of like, where's the vibe? You know, whereas those guys are playing well. I'm with you. I want to play Minnesota at home. I just never like going up to Williams Arena and play at the Barn. I'm not sure how good, better Minnesota will be, but I just don't like going up there. That'd be the one team I want to play at home. Northwestern always seems to be a place we don't always bring our A game, but I just think we're moving in the right direction compared to Northwestern.
Yeah, I'm always leery about playing at the rack at Rutgers too.
Yeah,
you think you're better than Rutgers and you should beat Rutgers, and then you go in and they've just had tremendous success the last 2 years beating a lot of good teams in that building. That would be one to get a single game at home. And you know, it always varies when the schedule comes out, Coach. We'll go through and like, oh, we got all the bad teams twice. We should win the Big Ten, and then a couple of those teams, you know, pop up just like. Wisconsin this year was probably picked 9th or 10th by a lot of teams, and then ended up at the top because Johnny Davis pops. So there's always some of that movement where, you know, teams that you think are at the top fall down and so forth. So, but it's the summer and there wasn't a whole lot of news. So we thought we'd talk about, you know, here's our schedule. And then we hope the new director of basketball operations listens to this and goes into those meetings with Coach Woodson and whoever is scheduling and kind of has some ideas of how to schedule. But a tougher non-conference is definitely on the horizon. Our suggestions help that out a little bit. With some regional flair, I do like the Ball State, the Indiana State, the Bradleys, those types of schools coming in and pushing Indiana. So I think that's good. So.
Hey, Coach, and maybe I'm jumping the gun here because I had this question in the community, but you're the bracketology guy, so I'm going to throw the question to you. Based on where you are right now, and I know it's way, way, way too early, but where would you slot IU at? In a field of 68.
Yeah, we had your one of your questions in segment three was your question, but we'll jump ahead and finish. That's okay. In segment two, it was a good question. You know, we haven't started putting it together, the transfer portal and the recruits and all that. It's just really, really hard. And then what we do, Coach, a lot is we do a better job once we know results. We're not very predictive in what this player is going to do and what this player is going to do. But if I had to say, I think Indiana is a 5 or 6 seed. If they reach their potential and start challenging for that one, you made the comment, a 1 or 2 spot in the Big Ten, then you're talking a top 4 protected seed potentially. But, you know, I go back to, we had 9 Big Ten wins and 7 of them were against teams that played in the first day of the Big Ten tournament. They were all the bottom teams. And then until the tournament when we won a couple games there, so we weren't consistent, and we have a lot of those guys coming back. We like them. They should make us better. We're passing people by. It's all positive. I'm not trying to be negative here, I think if they're a top 20 team, if they're sitting at 18 to 22, that puts them, you know, for me, in a 5 or 6 seed, which is good basketball. That's the one thing, Coach, that I've learned, that if you're a top 7 seed, you're a quality basketball team and can win the whole thing. It then becomes a matchup game. And Indiana ran into a bad matchup, as it turned out, with St. Mary's. But if you're a top 7, that's top 25 level team. That's pretty good basketball. So yep, that would be my preseason guess right now with TJD coming back. And I do see – I don't think that's the ceiling, though. I think that's probably the mid-range of where Indiana would end up. But that's a good question. So, okay, coming up on Assembly Call Radio, Coach Marlowe and I will talk about your questions and answer some questions from the community. So stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, y'all? It's Devontae Green giving you the green light to watch Assembly Call after every IU game. Just don't listen to their opinions about shot selection. Remember, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Go Hoosiers.
Hello, everyone. I'm the coach, Brian Tonsoni, here with Coach Marlowe, filling in for Andy Bottoms, who's dodging some electrical storms in Cincinnati. And Devontae is going to be on the basketball tournament, the TBT team. And Newkirk has announced, I think. That was something we should have put that in the headline. So I am so looking forward to having an Indiana team in that tournament. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So, all right, it's now time for our mailbag. All questions were submitted via our private IU basketball discussion community. You can learn more about and join at assemblycall.com/community. The first question came from Coach Marlowe, and he already asked it in segment two about the way too early bracketology. Coach, really good question. Phil Samuels asked, my question is, now that TJD is likely to return, how can his coaches, teammates, friends, and fans help him mentally prepare for another year of unanticipated college ball? Coach, obviously, young men want to go to the NBA. You want to go to the NBA, you have your sights set on being a top 30 pick or whatever his level was, and then you get invited to the combine, and then you have a setback like that. It has to be tough for an athlete. So I think Phil's question is a very good one. How do you see the basketball community of coaches and teammates and everything trying to help him come back, feel good about himself, and move forward for another year if that is what happens?
I'm going to make this sound simpler than it probably really is, but I think you the coaches especially, be like, hey, we realize that you had hopes to go to the next level, but you know what we could do here. This has a chance to be a really special year. You can kind of cement your legacy if you are all in. And I don't think that'll be a problem, but just, you got a chance to finish with maybe around 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, lead us into at least the second weekend of the tournament, if not deeper. I mean, you've got a real chance here. So don't that. And if you do that, the other is going to take care of itself. That's simple, but that's kind of the way I would approach it.
Yeah, and I'll follow that with another simple thing, is you go to work. You have a conversation. And I tell you what, I think Coach Woodson is really, really good at communicating to his players. I really think that. I'm not in those conversations, but from the people staying last year after going into the portal, from some of the closing that's going on in the recruiting, to the fact that the team seemed to be enjoying playing basketball a little bit more, I think Coach gets it. And I think he's brutally honest, just like the statement I read at the very beginning of the show. You come to play basketball and get an education at Indiana, and if the NIL stuff works out, great, we're happy for you. If not, fine. But if you come for NIL, then you're probably at the wrong place. I think he needs to be careful a little bit with that. But I just really think he communicates. And you have a nice conversation. You sit him down when he's healthy. You talk to him and you say, okay, here's our plan. And we're going to make people notice you by making Indiana basketball better and your Big Ten tournament. And I'd play loops and loops and loops and loops of that last 12 minutes against Michigan, the Illinois game, the Iowa game, and those last three or four games where he just was dominant on both ends. And just, you got to be there. And that's how you fight that disappointment, because – you know, it's a nice fallback. You get to play. You're going to get some money through NIL, and you get to play in front of a great set of fans in a great venue for a great program. So, Phil, I think you know, I think it's going to take all of those people you mentioned to be there to support him and pick him up. But I think Indiana is just set for that with the way things are run and Coach Woodson, the way he communicates with his players. So Max C. asked this question. Do you see Miller Kopp having a similar role minutes-wise this year?
I'll say this kind of answer two ways. One, if he shoots better, yes. If he doesn't, if those numbers don't improve, I think he loses time to guys who can, he'll show they can shoot it. I'm really excited, and I might be wrong, but I'm really excited about the CJ Gunn coming in and what he can do from shooting the ball. I just think we got to find some more consistent three-point shooting. So if Miller is able to do that and shoot a better percentage, by all means, I'm happy with him getting those minutes again. But if he's not, then we got to find somebody who does. And that, whether that's CJ Gunn or any of the other freshmen coming in or anybody else like Trey Galloway who can make a huge jump, which I'm not sold on that. I love Trey's game, but I'm just not sure he's ever going to be a 40% three-point shooter. We got to find, to me, that goes back to kind of a conversation we're having, you know, in between segments. For this offense to really make the next jump, it has to be a better three-point percentage team.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I would probably venture that Coach Woodson likes to play experience, so I think he'll start. I know a lot of people want Kopp to come off the bench, and I understand that argument as well. But if I were Max C. says he's going to be a starter, he's going to play 25 minutes a game, closing time. Here's my prediction, Max. I think he starts. I think he gets less minutes. I think he's going to get 18 to 19 minutes because the athleticism that is in, if it can get to a defensive level, I think you're going to see more players play that spot because the players coming in have what Miller is deficient at as far as foot speed and lateral movement and those types of things. So I think he'll start. I think he'll get less minutes than 25 a game. I'm seeing 18 to 20 minutes a game. And I'm not sure he'll be in that finishing lineup that last 3 or 4 minutes in a tight game. I think you might see someone else. And with the key being what Coach Marlowe said, if he's shooting the ball and scoring well, I think then all of that might change change a little bit. But I think now there is more potential behind him to push him for minutes than there was last year. Excellent question.
And that could change game to game. There might be a game right where Miller's hot and you play him 30 minutes. And there might be another game where Miller starts off 0 for 4. He might be lucky if he gets 12 minutes.
Exactly. Jimtown Hoosier says, will we finally get a recruit that performs well enough to be in the running for freshman of the year? Do you think Hood Shafino will play? Do you think Jalen Hood Shafino will play together a lot? I think he meant two-point guards. Do you think Woodson will lighten up his view of playing upperclassmen over younger players? So there's a lot to unwind there. Freshman of the year in the Big Ten, maybe freshman of the year in the NCAA. I don't think either one, Renaud or Hood Shafino. Do I see Jalen, Hood Shafino, and X playing together a lot? Yes, and I hope Woodson lightens up a little bit on playing upperclassmen over younger players. I think he's got to play the talent and live with something. And maybe that's what those cupcakes we did in segment two are for. Your thoughts on all of those questions by Jimtown Hoosier?
I think Jalen Hood Shafino is the kid that could be Big Ten Freshman of the Year for us. I always like guards. I like wings, you know, for that type of award. And with that, and I think he's going to get plenty of minutes. I think the other thing, I agree, we got to play some younger kids. Also, because Coach, to a certain degree, I know they're not promising, but you got to be recruiting those kids with the hook of, hey, you come in here, you're going to play right away, and then you're going to start burying them on the bench. Somehow that's going to get back to the recruiting. You're not going to get those elite kids. So you're kind of there, you know, that catch 22. It's great to have JHS and Renaud, but if they don't play, then we're not going to get those kind of kids in the future. And I just think they've got to play some minutes, but I really like what I've seen on TV and video. I really think JHS has a chance to play a lot of minutes and be a big time contributor for us. And that could get him be freshman of the year in the Big Ten. Renaud, I think, was going to be projected out a little bit farther along anyway in terms of his development. But if TJD comes back, that's probably taking some minutes from it. And that's going to keep him from being in that role.
I actually see Hood Schifino and Renault coming off the bench. I think they have the mentality to do it, but I'd like to see him get 18 to 20 solid minutes. I don't know if that's enough to get the stats to be Big Ten Player of the Year, but they could be a huge, both of them, a huge asset to the program winning-wise, both by practicing and clutch minutes off the bench for your Indiana Hoosiers. So, thanks out to Coach Marlowe. It was good to have Andy back for segment one. Hope everything weather-wise is okay. Coach, again, thanks for being that call to the bullpen, the long reliever today. Hey. You did a great job for filling in. I appreciate it. It's always good to talk basketball with you.
Coach, I want to put this in here real quick. Jack asked us in the chat about Spain's pick and roll with X and Geronimo and TJD. I will just answer it this way, Jack. I'm a fan of – I really love a lot of those European sets, whether it's the Spain pick-and-roll stuff or some of the other stuff you see in European basketball. I love that stuff, so I would be all right with any of that.
Coach, we might have to do a Coach's Corner. I'm going to reboot that here this summer with some ideas. We can get on and discuss the Spain pick-and-roll and other things like that. Those would be good for us to get back together on that. I'm going to have some more time this summer to get back into that and next year. But again, thank you, Coach, for doing it. I'm doing the show tonight on just a minute's notice. But that'll do it for this week's show. If you want to see us do the show live, join us at assemblycall.com on Thursday nights for the live broadcast of our Assembly Call radio recording. Thanks to Bob Thompson for producing our music. Thanks to John Ringer of RiggsDesign.com for designing our logos. And thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week on Assembly Call Radio. Until then,
take it from me, Yogi Ferrell. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
You would never get your shot off on me.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
All right, everyone. Thank you for a Thursday off-season show and podcast. Again, Coach, thank you very much. Always good to talk to you. And while we have you on the show, excellent job with the women's program shows that you and Kathy did. Just really good work. We're glad you're part of what we do here.
And our next show, I'll kind of tease that. Our next show right now is scheduled for June the 4th. We've had a couple things, kind of like you guys had the last previous couple of weeks, yep, where we've kind of gotten in some things. Our lives have kind of gotten busy here. I've got my son's a sophomore playing baseball, so it's just hard to get in some stuff. And we had a couple games scheduled for Wednesdays and stuff. So our next one right now is scheduled for June the 4th, and we're going to talk about the incoming recruits that IU women have.
So put that on your schedule. And until next week, we will keep watching for all kinds of good Indiana basketball news. It's always good. And as Andy said in his opening, thanks for everyone in the community. Your support, yep, for Andy and all of us through what we do is just fantastic. We couldn't do it without you. So have a great evening, and we will catch you next week.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.